listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary with host Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. I'm your host, Peggy Hartshorn, chairman of the board of Heartbeat International that advances life-affirming pregnancy help around the world. And today we are going to be focusing on couple relationship and how that really is the core of, I believe, and I think our guests also would agree with this, the core of how we do have make our family a sanctuary of life where each person in the family, the husband, the wife, the children, know and understand that they are made in the image and likeness of God, and they become the persons that God created them to be. They don't think of themselves as objects for other people. And that they think of themselves in a way that will help them defend against the cultural messages that we have just rampant in our culture today. We were thinking as we were planning a little bit about the Me Too movement. Why do we have the Me Too movement? Well, we're at a point in our culture where women have been so objectified, turned into objects. Some of them believe that they were made to be used by others or allow themselves to be used by others, when of course that is not what we mean by made in the image and likeness of God. So it's a phenomenal topic that we're focusing on today. It's around us everywhere, and we want to try to give some real concrete examples and help of how do we live out something different than that in our couple relationship and in our families. So to help us explore that really big issue today is a couple that I know you have probably heard on St. Gabriel Radio before and on the Family Sanctuary. I want to welcome back Perry and Marissa Cahall. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here again, and so good to keep pursuing with you. And I hope our listeners have listened to some of the other programs that we've recorded. They're, of course, available on the St. Gabriel Radio website. They can listen to them again. I hope they've been exploring with us the depths of what God is calling us to do in our marriages and how that affects our families and the culture as a whole. So, and yet I think we're doing it. I hope we're doing it. I know that you've been giving Perry and Marissa some really relatable examples in your own relationship that I think are beautiful. So Perry, to give you a proper introduction, is the academic dean for the School of Theology and a professor of historical theology at the Josephinum. He's been doing that for 13 years here in our diocese. And Marissa has her PhD in psychology, and she is a teacher at the Josephinum. And they've been married for 17 years. They have two beautiful children, 16 and 13. They're members of St. Michael's Parish in Worthington. And Perry has been exploring this whole issue of marriage and God's call to us in marriage through, he's written a book called The Mystery of Marriage, A Theology of the Body and the Sacrament. We're unpacking that mystery, right, Perry?
Hope so, yes.
Unpacking what that mystery really means. And we hope he continues working on his book for engaged and newly married couples. So I want to focus today, as I mentioned, Perry and Marissa, on some concrete examples of the way that in our marriages we can affirm for each other that we really are special, made in the image and likeness of God, and help that permeate our family. So I know, Perry, that in your writings and teachings, sometimes you focus on four healthy habits that create stronger marriages. And you want to tell us what those four are, Perry?
Sure. In the book that I wrote, I talk about a spirituality of tenderness that couples live out together, and that aspects of this tenderness that we show for each other are reverence, sacrifice, suffering, and repairing.
And those are big concepts.
There's a lot to unpack in each one of those, and we've talked about some of those in previous shows.
Uh-huh.
And I think today you wanted to focus on the reverence piece.
Right, right. I love reverence, sacrifice, suffering, and repairing. Now, they sound to me in that context as pretty heady, you might say. Kind of, you might even say not very tangible. Reverence. How do we show reverence to the other person? We think mainly of being reverent in church or being reverent toward God. It's kind of mind-boggling to think reverence for my spouse.
Right. No, you're right. I think it can sound very abstract.
Mm-hmm.
This habit, if you will, came from John Paul II. In his Theology of the Body, he talks about reverence as being the foundation of married spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets it actually from St. Paul. And in St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 5, St. Paul begins his whole reflection on marriage as a sacrament of Christ for the church when he says to spouses, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. And John Paul II takes that line. He says, look, you know, what St. Paul's trying to show us is that how spouses treat each other is based in, first of all, the reverence they have for Jesus. And then that reverence permeates their own relationship where they become subject to each other and show reverence for each other, for the gift that each other is in their lives, for the gift of married love, for the gift of their sexuality, for just reverence permeates across the board in their relationship. So it becomes much more concrete than people realize. And what we need to try to do is to show, well, what are ways you show that reverence day to day?
Yeah. It sounds so different than I'm picturing in my mind a normal day to day, a day in the life of a normal married couple and a normal family. I'm thinking of our son and his wife and their two children, one in high school, one in grade school, running from event to event, taking them to practices and first of all, getting them to school in the first place and making sure everything is, they
There's
have
a lot
everything
involved
they
in
need.
That, yeah.
Right? Just the hectic pace of our day-to-day lives. How on earth do we reverence each other? So let's talk about some of the concrete ways that that really takes place in a marriage, in your relationship. What do you think maybe is the most obvious way that a couple on a day-to-day basis can be reverent toward each other?
I'll let my wife say what she thinks, but from my perspective, I think just kind of springboarding off your comment about the hectic pace of daily life, I think one of the most simple ways you can show reverence for each other is to be attentive to each other and not take each other for granted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you're not just passing by each other. Well, see you later. And hey,
or you're taking the daughter to school. I'm taking the son to school. We're going to be back. Remember at 4, you have to pick up so-and-so at practice.
Let's
and remember at 6, there's a music lesson.
Yeah.
And, you know,
right.
And you're so, your morning conversation is based around what everybody has to do that day. You can get you can be stressed, you can be short with each other. On a day-to-day basis, Marissa, what would you say in terms of your relationship with Perry, that's something that you try to keep in mind, be mindful of, or that he tries to be mindful of for you?
Well, certainly in the midst of all that chaos and the hectic pace, remembering to thank the other person for what they are doing for the other. Thank you for bringing the kids to school, or for remembering to stop off and pick up that gallon of milk at the store, remembering to acknowledge and affirm and thank the other person for that, not only for who they are, but what contributions they're making to the family, for what they're doing to help me in my day. So it might be less stressful, like remembering to make the coffee or something to that effect. So.
Right.
So acknowledging the contributions that person's making, acknowledging their thoughtfulness, thanking them, even for the small things like taking out the garbage. And it seems so insignificant, but just that's also a way of saying, you know, I'm recognizing your contribution. I'm recognizing your help. I'm recognizing your efforts to make our home, make our family function better and more strongly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's easy to say, thanks, honey, for taking that bag out on your way to the car, whereas I think when people get so stressed, they generally are thinking of themselves, all the things they have to do, and probably their thought toward the other person is, well, he's not doing as much as I am, so what that person is doing, they don't acknowledge, it's more of a kind of a poor me attitude. Now, of course, I know that because I'm thinking of myself.
Yeah, I'm thinking everything I have to do, and okay, he's taking out the garbage. Well, big deal, you know. Right. Look at everything that I have to do today. Right. So sometimes we're focused on self and not, and yet, if we affirm the other person, in most cases, that person will likely be able to do more or be wanting to do more to help, you know?
I want to confess, my wife has been much better about this over the course of our marriage than I have. I mean, every single week she mentioned taking out the garbage, and I smiled because every single week she thanks me for taking out the garbage.
Oh, isn't it?
And it's, which sounds stupid, right? Like something very simple. But it's
but when she does that, it's a
reminder to me, oh, I need to affirm her for everything she's done this week, you know, for the meals that she's made, for all the things that she's done, that it really breathes new life, I think, into our relationship. I would say if couples fail to do those simple things, one of the wedges that can get driven into a marriage is the result of feeling unappreciated. When you feel like your spouse isn't paying attention to you, when they really couldn't care less whether you're there or not, all of a sudden deeper problems start to set in. Mm-hmm. But when you have somebody thanking you for taking out the garbage, you realize, oh, she really appreciates me. Right.
So, isn't it amazing how something that seems so simple means so much?
Right.
And when that's not done, how dangerous that is to the relationship. Yeah. 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 Words of affirmation. And for some people, we've done a program here before on the love languages. For some people, that is really crucial. Mm-hmm. If they don't hear words of affirmation, if that's their love language, they really don't feel love. That may seem silly when, for instance, in my husband's and my relationship, one of his love languages is words of affirmation, and one of mine is acts of service. So I have to admit, after all these years of marriage, I'm still bad at words of affirmation. And sometimes I think, well, but I've done this and I've done that and I've done all these acts of service. How could he not feel appreciated? Well, it's because I'm still not very good at words of affirmation. So I'm being convicted here by your sharing. Thank you so much. All right. So words of affirmation, what are other ways that we let the other person know that we're not taking them for granted, that we do revere, we appreciate them, we love them? Simple ways.
Well, the acts of service as well, whether it's doing something small for them. I know that the mornings when I'm running late, running behind, that Perry thinks to make my coffee for me, as I mentioned, I appreciate that tremendously because I might have run out of time to do that otherwise. Or I know couples who say that when the other stops at the store, they'll remember to pick up something special for that they know the other person likes. Just as a, not something necessary, but just as a special treat to let that person know they were thinking of them and something that they might enjoy that day to brighten their day. And that's
there's another that's one of the love languages, words of affirmation. We've talked about acts of service and then gifts. For some people, receiving just a little gift, bringing home one flower, you know, bringing home the special cookies that that person loves, that really means a lot. So I think one of the things in revering each other, reverencing each other, is learning what does make my spouse feel loved. It may not be what makes me feel loved.
Right, I think you're right.
Yes. Yeah, but being sensitive to those things. Yeah, that's really beautiful. And physical touch is another one of those words of affirmation. Of those, I shouldn't say of the words of affirmation, it's one of the love languages. Right. So we've got words of affirmation, and we've got gift giving, and we've got acts of service, and then physical touch, which which brings us to our sexuality in our marriage relationships, which is of course is a major way that we can either reverence each other or take each other for granted, objectify the other person or treat them with reverence. So let's focus a little bit on that, which is a little more difficult sometimes for couples to really understand. How does this relate to the dignity of the other person, made in the image and likeness of God? How does our sexual relationship relate to that?
Sure. I'm going to go back just briefly to John Paul II again, because he points out in his discussion of reverence how part of reverencing each other is reverencing God's gift of our sexuality. And having just celebrated the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae, I think it's appropriate to bring this into the discussion, that you can't reverence each other appropriately in your marriage bed unless you're reverencing God's gift of human sexuality and what it's for, you know,
right.
both babies and bonding, and keeping that link between babies and bonding together. Now,
before we get into that in a little more depth, and I definitely want to do that, if anyone just joined our show, I want to let them know who our guests are today. Perry and Marissa Cahall, who have a phenomenal background in understanding things like the theology of the body and truly being able to help us see the deeper picture here. Perry is a professor at the Josephinum and in charge, actually, of the School of Theology, the academic dean, I should say, of the School of Theology. Marissa teaches at the Josephinum as well. She teaches seminarians. But they're also bringing to our program and this discussion their lived experience of this as a married couple for 17 years with two teenagers, by the way, which makes it particularly challenging. So getting back to the revering of each other or the reverence of each other, as John Paul II has called us to in our marriage relationship, this is a much deeper and perhaps even more sensitive way that we either are or are not reverencing the other person in our marriage relationship. So, Perry, I'm sorry to interrupt your discussion, but I really wanted people to know again our guest today. So John Paul II has called us, has really recognized and recently in our church history, helped us to see this in a deeper way. And yet, as you mentioned, we're celebrating this year the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae, right. which is such an important teaching document on reverencing each other in our sexual relationship.
Yes, and John Paul II drew that out in his Theology of the Body, kind of deepening the insights that mm-hmm. Paul VI gave us. And, you know, I would say just briefly, you know, we have a whole culture which is encouraging us in a myriad of different ways to objectify each other, you know, and to look lustfully at each other, instead of revering each other as persons made in the image and likeness of God. And one of the things that John Paul II says in his Theology of the Body is that it's the task of spouses to focus on revering each other and treating each other with respect and affirming each other and living out marital chastity instead of succumbing to the lustfulness of the heart. It's difficult at times for couples in our current cultural context to understand that what they do in their marriage bed is about affirming each other in their love, celebrating their love for each other, celebrating God's gift of sexuality that he's given to them, instead of just seeking the pleasure, which is our culture says that's what sex is about.
And the pleasure for yourself.
Correct.
Which
becomes self-referential. Right.
Right. So what does that really mean in terms of how the couple is treating each other, how they are, let's take the issue even of family planning.
Sure.
How does this relate to the whole issue of family planning?
Yeah. And that's the key insight of Humanae Vitae, that ultimately if a couple tries to separate the baby making, you know, from their love making, that inevitably they will objectify each other. That a couple can't purposefully try to do away with the procreative potential of an act of merit of the marital act by realizing that that there are many ways that you can express love for each other as a couple. This particular way has a baby making potential.
Right.
And that we don't walk on that ground unless we're willing to acknowledge that.
May I just say here that the opposite of that is so clear in our culture today.
Correct.
That, and this is how one of the reasons I'm so passionate about this subject is that in my calling, which is in the pro-life arena, we see so clearly that people who are coming into our pregnancy help centers have grown up totally separating those concepts of sexual intimacy from the related object, of course, of fertility,
right,
and having children. And so sexuality or the sexual act in their minds has absolutely nothing to do with having children, or it shouldn't. And right. that's why they've bought so much into the contraceptive mentality. And if they do become pregnant because of sexual intimacy, they think they've been irresponsible. And they think that they're ashamed and embarrassed that they haven't been better about their contraceptives. Right. and so the concept that these two things go together is just totally foreign to most people growing up today.
Yes,
and it's interesting. We, of course, go to a lot of weddings. And, you know, you hear the church so much in the wedding rite, the nuptial rites, of connecting children with marriage. You know, right. you are accepting the responsibility of children, the gift and responsibility of children. It's part of our whole marriage ceremony.
Yes.
And it's there in the teaching that being married and being open to life in your sexuality is so central to the church's teaching.
Because it's part of giving and receiving the totality of each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want my wife to be able to chime in on this a bit, but it's the reason why, you know, practicing natural family planning helps you reverence each other is because it allows you to be complete gift one for the other. You know, the lie of contraceptive behavior is I act as if my fertility as a man or my wife's fertility as a woman isn't part of our persons. You know, so we come, it's kind of like, well, I want to give all myself to you, but this, and I want to receive all of you, but that, and don't really want that. There's this in this refusal to give and receive the totality of each other, you're not revering the entire person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's, I think, one of the key insights that John Paul II drew out of Humanae Vitae to show us that this isn't just about maintaining the integrity of a biological act. It's about revering the totality of the person.
Mm-hmm.
And if a couple falls into that type, that separation of the baby making and the love making, it erodes the reverence in the relationship.
Hmm. Marissa, I know you teach this to the seminarians as well.
We do talk about how, you know, in using natural family planning to regulate pregnancies, you know, at the times where a couple chooses to abstain, it requires that they come together in other ways, not just physically. And so then that is a way that they can validate each other as people. They can talk, they can discuss, they can pray, they can do other things together, which really honors their character, their persons, who they are as people, not just as bodies, as sexual beings. And so that's really one of the wonderful things of natural family planning, is that it requires days where they come together spiritually, emotionally, in other ways.
And those are very intimate mm-hmm. ways right. of connecting as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Just to latch onto that word, to use intimate, there's a huge problem in our culture which sees intimacy as simply sexual activity.
Right.
And you can't be intimate with somebody unless you're sexually active with them. Well, that's a lie. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're intimate with you know, our parents, our children, our friends. We're not having sex with them. At least I hope we're not. Right.
Right.
But, you know, intimacy takes on a whole different whole range of communicating and practicing and revering God's plan for human sexuality. As Marissa said, if there are times when you need to abstain from intercourse in order to plan your family, right, then you learn how to be intimate with each other in these other ways.
Yeah, you're communicating in right. other ways that revere the person, and some of the ways that we started out talking about earlier.
Correct.
Affirming each other. One of the things that we didn't talk about was a way of revering and reverencing the other person is listening.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Really having intimate discussions that right. that's often not a part of couple relationships today because it takes time.
Right.
You have to focus on the person, pay attention, and really listen. And another thing that we didn't touch on earlier is celebrating the
yes.
other person.
Taking those moments to celebrate your love for each other, you know, birthdays, anniversaries,
mm-hmm.
doing this with your kids to help mm-hmm. them see that it's important that you celebrate your love for each other.
Yeah.
And by the way, linking it to our discussion of sexuality, that's what your encounters with each other in the marriage bed should be, celebrating your love for each other.
Right.
It's not using each other. It's celebrating each other and the gift that you are to each other that came from God.
Absolutely. Date nights,
right.
having and letting your children. And by the way, we're going to focus on this on another program. How you live this out as a couple is one of the best ways to teach your children what we want to teach them,
right?
All right, about the reverence for the other person. So it's a beautiful calling that we have to reverence each other, but it's not just all spiritual and heady. It's right. practical. It's what we yes. can do on a day-to-day basis.
And the reason why I think it means so much, you know, as spouses to each other is because you realize behind those simple things of words of affirmation or acts of service, they're choices. You know, the choice that your spouse has made to say, you know what, thank you, right? Or
right.
or before you go, run out for your hectic day, hey, come here, give me a kiss, I love you.
Yeah.
Right.
And that relates to a marriage encounter concept that's so important to my husband and me, is that love is a decision. Mm-hmm. It's not yes. always a feeling.
Correct.
But we can make the decision to love. And these choices of reverencing each other, not just in our sexual relationship, but in our day-to-day communications, in right. our listening, in our celebrating, in our affirming, in our acts of service, these are all choices that we make. And that's what really builds our couple relationship and helps the other person know that they are reverenced and made in the image and likeness of God. So yes. it's a beautiful calling that we have. And I want to thank you, Perry and Marissa, for sharing so well with us how this relates not only theologically, but in a day-to-day relationship. So thank you for sharing with us today. And thank you for listening to our guest today. You've been listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Peggy Hartshorn, your host for the Family Sanctuary, with archives at stgabrielradio.com and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. Our program is broadcast at 12:30 on Monday every other week, and also at 2 o'clock on Sunday. So please join us again to strengthen our families and make them sanctuaries of life as God intended.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Veni Sancti.